Go ahead and open first to Romans chapter 5. We are going to be looking at a tremendous amount of Scripture tonight. And I mean a lot. And just want to ask a question. Have you ever been in a position in your life where you just didn't think you could take it anymore? I will interpret that as a yes. Right along with that, have you ever been in a position in your life where you just didn't think you could take someone anymore? Have you ever felt like you just wish you could quit? Really, you know, just kind of find a little cave somewhere and climb in and just stay there. Leave everything and everybody and just, you know? And like the Bible says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know what I mean? Well, I think everybody has been in those positions, in those places, at some time or another. And in some cases, I feel that, or I think that, some folks have maybe encountered worse situations. I mean, let's face it, nobody's going through anything as bad as what you've gone through. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't matter what anybody else has gone through, it's never as bad as what you've gone through. And likewise, they feel the same way about you. However, we've all been at varying degrees at that place of, I just don't think I can take it anymore. I just don't know what to do. How am I going to make it? And, you know, maybe we don't say this, but like in the back of our mind, it's like, oh God, where are you? Why don't you come through? Why don't you help? Well, I'm going to show you some things in the Word tonight that, if nothing else, it's just going to maybe be a reminder. You know, the Bible talks about how that, and I didn't write this verse down, but the Bible talks about how that God will not let us go through any more than what we're able to handle. Okay? And at times, doesn't it seem like that one verse maybe is a lie? That maybe it's the devil that put that verse in there or something just to kind of make God look bad. Well, here's the thing about it. This might kind of maybe be a downer for some people, but the bottom line is if you're born again, you can handle anything. It doesn't matter what it is. If you are a Christian, you can handle anything. But it's knowing how to handle it and deciding that you're going to. That's what it comes down to. Because it talks about greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If that's true, then you know that you can handle anything, absolutely anything that comes your way, you can handle it. But what I have found, and I'm no different than anybody else, is that the emotions involved with a set of circumstances can oftentimes cloud our spiritual judgment. That's when we come up with the, well, God, are you going to help me or not? Whether we say it or not, you know, the thought that passes through our mind. Well, what it comes down to is this. It comes down to grace. I don't mean grace. Although she'll pray for you and help you out. I'm talking about God's grace. It comes down to God's grace. And the fact that regardless of what you're facing and what you're going through, God's grace will get you through. Every single time. It doesn't matter if it's a husband or wife problem, son or daughter problem. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, another kind of family problem, a job problem, a money problem, a health problem. It doesn't matter. God's grace will get you through. But if you don't know this, then you're not going to know how to get through. And you may think that God's just dumped on you and just left you there. And, you know, he's up in heaven watching while you're down here struggling and really just having a tough time of it. So what I'm going to do is show you tonight three things about grace. And then, right before we do this, I just want to remind you that what I'm going to show you, you are going to be accountable for this. And some of you already know these things, so it'll just be a refresher for you. For others, this may be revelation. But, quite honestly, this particular sermon tonight, it might be the one message that people would want to go back to, listen to over and over again whenever you hit one of those walls in life, whenever you hit one of those times where I just don't know what to do. God, why won't you help me? And everything's going bad, and I just wish I could find that cave, crawl in it, and just be left alone. Well, first off, what I want to do is show you what grace does. And again, we're looking at several passages of Scripture, starting here in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Do you see that? That means we have a connection between God's grace and our being able to reign. Now this phrase here in the where it says the gift of righteousness, well, you know that you become the righteousness of God. When you become born again, you become the righteousness of God. And you can live the rest of your life trying to do good deeds, help people, and all this other to earn more righteousness. It's not going to happen. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus was made to be our sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're born again, you are righteous. You know, religion tells you otherwise. And so many of man's doctrines will tell you that, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, if you put verses in context, you find out what God is talking about here, you'll come to the understanding that the moment you get born again, you are righteous. You may not live it, you may not act like it, and bottom line, you may not even believe that. But whether you believe it or not, it's not going to change what God says. What God says is true, but the more you accept and believe and live according to what God says, that's when you begin to experience what God says. So you are the righteousness of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. But then he's talking here about this grace, and there's a connection between grace and our reigning. That word reign, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. What that literally, the image of that literally is, it's a person who has become a king and is ruling. Well, doesn't the Bible say that we've been made kings and priests unto God through Jesus Christ? This word reign means you're the one that's in charge. This word reign means that everything is beneath you. Well, doesn't the Bible say that everything's been placed under the feet of Jesus and we're the body of Christ? See? This word reign means you're the one in charge. Now let this sink in. Because of grace, you now can reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean that you rule people's lives. We know that. But what it means is when it comes to the circumstances dominating you, or you being on top of the circumstances, you're the one that's supposed to be in charge because of grace. So looking at this again from a different perspective, since you've been made a king and priest unto God, and since God's grace has been extended to you, that means when stuff happens, whether it's, you know, husband, wife, son, daughter, sickness, money, job, anything, when stuff happens, you have the ability through grace to stay on top of the situation. And as in staying on top of the situation, you're going to begin to see how to bring about the change in the situation as best as you can. You're going to understand how you can reign in this thing. You have financial problems. All right, the financial problems can drag you down, or you can reign by grace over the financial problem. Reigning by grace over the financial problem does not mean your financial problem changes overnight. What it means is you start looking at it from God's perspective and you say, I'm in charge of this thing. And my financial problem is not going to rise up above me. I will stay above it. And because I'm in charge, I will delegate to my financial problem whether or not it's going to control my life. Now, when you start acting like that, that's when you begin to see the situation differently. And if you start seeing it through grace, then you can start receiving from God a solution. But as long as the financial situation or the sickness or the family problem or whatever it is, as long as you are Let's put it like this. As long as you're looking at it eye to eye, you're not reigning. As long as you continue to argue with the thing eye to eye, you're not in charge. As long as you continue to try to work it out according to how you think it ought to be worked out, you're not ruling. You're not reigning. Because it says here that you're going to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Well, is your financial problem controlling Jesus? Is your sickness or disease controlling Jesus? Is your rebellious, you know, family member ruling Jesus? Absolutely not. So then why are their actions and that problem and whatever, why is that thing controlling you and how you respond? Why? It's because you have submitted to it and allowed it to be the authority in your life. But according to grace, it says here that we can reign in life by one. This is an incredibly amazing concept to some Christians, because some Christians never see themselves as being able to be in charge of anything. They always see themselves as under the circumstances. Well, under the circumstances, you know what I'm saying? Now, I know that phrase, but that some people, it's more than a phrase. It's like it's their life. But grace, now again, according to God's word here, grace says you can reign. Grace says that through Jesus Christ, you can be in charge of this thing. All right, let's look at something else. Same chapter, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Okay, have you ever felt like, going back to this thing, you know, why won't God help me? All my problems are just, you know, it's misery and it's gloom and everything's bad. So, okay, you ever struggle with sin? You know, you never tell anybody about it, right? But you, whatever sin that you might have ever struggled with. What it says right here, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Okay, so let's just get kind of like, let's just go inside the closet, can we? Let's say you've got a problem with pornography. Now you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. But you're too smart to go out and buy the magazines, you just do it on the internet. And you figured out how to go into your computer and clear out your internet history. Huh? So that nobody can find you, find out what you're looking at. But you know it's wrong. And you feel like a dirty dog every time you do it. This is a serious problem in the body of Christ, let alone the world. It's a serious problem in the body of Christ. But it says here that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Now you want to stop this thing, but you can't figure out how to stop it. Or maybe it's not pornography. Maybe it's booze. I don't know. But let's just say there's a hidden sin that so easily besets. And you can't seem to figure out how to deal with this thing and how to stop it. You got a problem. I mean, it's not pornography, but the whole intimacy issue is a major issue before marriage for many Christians. They know it's wrong, but it's like, we just can't seem to stop. So this kind of stuff goes on and on, whatever the sin might be. But right here, it tells us that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, I know it's ultimately talking about becoming born again, but just because you became born again doesn't mean that grace no longer abounds to help you overcome sin. So now, if we're struggling with something in our lives, regardless of what it would be, maybe you've got a serious issue with spending money. I mean, you ever heard of those shopaholics? I mean, this is a real serious problem for some people. They just spend money like crazy. All right? You're supposed to be a good steward of your money. But whatever it would be, according to the Word of God, grace helps you and is there so that you can overpower that sin. You can reign over that sin no matter what it is. It doesn't make a difference. Well, but Brother Martin, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, I don't, but I do know this. God says that His grace can abound and be greater than that sin. Okay? So, the grace right there. You got a sin problem? The grace is there to help you with it. Let's look at something else. Same book, Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Something else that grace does. It says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Then it goes on and starts talking about gifts and so forth. But here's what I want to get at. There are a lot of people that feel like they're aimless in life, meaning Christians who feel like, oh, God doesn't have a call for me. There's nothing for me. There's nothing there. Why won't God use me in something? Why doesn't God give me a calling, etc., and so on and so forth? I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels going nowhere with God. What's it say right here? It says, grace is the thing that appropriates your call in your life. It says right here, according to the grace, having then gifts differing according to the grace. So then, my call as pastor, your call as evangelist, different callings, different giftings, okay? But God's grace is the thing that helps institute those callings in our lives. So, a person who says, I'm just a loser, or I just don't know what God, I've been waiting 30 years, God doesn't have a call for me, why won't He tell me, and all this stuff. Could it be that this person hasn't figured out that if you start tapping into God's grace, you're going to discover what your calling is? It says right there, according to the grace. According to the grace. So if you begin to understand grace and you begin to understand how to appropriate it and how to tap into it, then guess what? The more you do that, sooner or later you are going to find out what your calling is, because having gifts differing according to the grace. Let's look at something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So what do we see in these two verses, 2 Corinthians 8, 9 and 2 Corinthians 9, 8? What we see in these two verses is that if you've got a financial issue in your life, God's grace is there for you. God's grace will help you get through it. God's grace, I mean, look at especially this chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So right there you are seeing in 8, 9, and 9, 8, what you're seeing is provision being made for us according to God's grace. Now see, when people start focusing on how much they put in the offering plate instead of focusing on God's grace, then they're focusing on the wrong thing as far as them being helped in their financial situation. Oh God, I just feel like I'm going under. It's like we're never going to get out of debt. Never. It's always one money problem after another. Blah, blah, blah. On and on and on it goes. What's He say right here? He says, listen, my grace, it's there. Now, if you figure out how to tap into the grace and figure out how to operate with this grace, you are going to begin to see some relief in the area of your finances because of God's grace. This is what grace will do for you. Let's look at something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was going through some problems. Thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan, and so forth. Chapter 12, verse 9, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, well, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, we could go on an entire sermon about what's going on here in chapter 12, but we're just going to focus on this one part where God makes a statement that my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God is drawing a connection between His grace and His strength. And then Paul says, well, listen, if that's the deal, then, you know, praise God. I'm going to rejoice every time I find an infirmity in my life. Because now that I know I can tap into God's grace is God's strength, and God's strength will release power in me. The power of Christ will rest upon me so that I can deal with this issue, so that I can overcome this thing. So whatever the problem is that you're dealing with, whatever the problem is that you may be facing, and trust me, you may not be facing anything right now. There is a plan in the works to come against you. The devil is sitting back trying to figure some way to try and stop you and take you down. Well now, his tendency is to attack people in the area of what he sees as weaknesses. And Paul is saying right here, as a result of this conversation he had with God, he's telling us, well man, don't get worried about areas where you feel like you're weak. Rejoice! Because if there's a weakness in your life, you can tap into the grace of God, and that is the strength of God. It's the power of Christ, and it will empower you in those areas of your weakness. So it doesn't matter. Have you ever heard somebody say something to the effect of, Well, I just can't do that because I'm too weak. I just can't handle that because I'm too weak. I just can't face that circumstance, or I can't face this kind of a problem because I'm too weak. Your answer is right here. If you're too weak, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm too weak. What's that mean? It means I can't do it on my own. God says, well, what are you going to do now? I'll do what Paul did, God. I'll tap into your grace, because your grace is your strength and it's the power of Christ, and it will rest upon me. And when that rests upon me, I will overcome this thing. I'll make it through. It doesn't matter if I'm shipwrecked. It doesn't matter what it is. I will make it like Paul made it. Because this, in my opinion, this verse, it's more than just this one verse, but this verse is one of the most powerful, one of the greatest revelations that God's ever given to the body of Christ when it comes to dealing with problems in life. When you feel like you just can't go on, when you feel like you got to find that cave to crawl into it, God says, my grace is sufficient. But God, nothing works, but my grace is sufficient. But God, nothing helps, but my grace is sufficient. But God, and see, God, you keep crying out to God, God's going to give you the same answer He gave to Paul. Three times Paul cried out, oh God, he says, my grace is sufficient. But oh God, God says, my grace is sufficient. But oh God, God says, but my grace is sufficient. Like the little light bulb went off above Paul's head. He says, oh, yeah, I get it. God's grace is sufficient. I don't have to figure it out for myself. I don't have to try and do it my own strength. All I have to do is tap into the grace. All right, let's look at some more. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, verse 7, in whom we have redemption, talking about Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Okay, not only will grace help you to overpower the sin that so easily besets, but God has worked out this system whereby His grace makes it possible for forgiveness to be appropriated to you whenever you do sin. So what that means is this. If you sin and you want to make it right, grace says you can make it right. A lot of Christians have felt like God doesn't want me. Oh, I've just gone too far. I've sinned too much. Well, I've just been so bad, been so horrible. You know what I'm talking about? You've been around Christians like that, have you not? And yet the Bible says, according to God now, God has established a rule of grace. And the rule of grace says, if you sin, my grace makes it possible for forgiveness to be extended to you. You know what that means? That means that as long as you want the forgiveness, as long as you want to be restored back to God, it's there. It's always there. In fact, here's something that's interesting. As long as you want the forgiveness, and as long as you want to be restored back to God, it's impossible to commit the unpardonable sin. As long as you want it. It's when you stop wanting it, then you've got a problem in your life. It's when you don't care anymore. But as long as you want that forgiveness and as long as you want that restoration, God says, my grace makes it possible for my forgiveness to be extended to you. So it doesn't matter what you do. And don't misinterpret that to be His condoning of sin. That's not what it is. He's saying, my grace makes it possible for you to be forgiven and for you to be restored back into fellowship with me. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at two verses here. Verses 5 and 8, it says, even when we were dead in sins, that God, He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Notice it doesn't say, for by grace are you born again. It says, for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. That word saved, without going into a big long teaching on saved / salvation, what it means is, for by grace are you not only born again, but you've also become a recipient of everything that God has to offer. Grace makes everything about God available to you. See, when I was being raised, essentially the concept was presented to me that salvation and born again were the same thing. Well, only to a certain point. Salvation includes being born again. But born again simply means you're born again. Born again is not everything about salvation. But born again takes you into salvation. I mean, we've got a tape series back there, I'm born again and I'm saved. Of course, we've got a tape series back there, The Force of Grace. It goes into a whole lot more detail on all of this. But when you get born again, you also become a recipient of the benefit package called salvation. Not everything that God has is available to you, but He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So by grace, I tap into my salvation. No matter what it is, salvation is everything you need from God. It's total and complete deliverance. So by grace, I can tap into this. By grace. His grace makes it possible for me to experience the fullness of salvation. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 16. It says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. You ever felt like there's no hope? You ever felt like the situation is hopeless? This thing's never going to change? There's no way out. What's there to live for? I have no hope. What's He say right here? He says right here in verse 16 that God's given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Listen, when you begin to figure out how to tap into God's grace and you begin accessing that grace, you are going to begin to capture the vision of the hope that God has given to you, the hope of everything that God set aside for you to make it in this life. The more that you begin, I'll say it like this, fellowshipping with His grace is the more that you look beyond the situation and see the hope. If you look at the situation, many times it looks hopeless. I'll just be honest with you. In natural terms, you are going to face hopeless situations. Because some of these things that you face, there is no hope in the natural. But according to God's grace, there's always hope. And when you start focusing on His grace, and you start dealing in that grace, then you're going to be, you start seeing this thing as like, well, there is hope in this. I mean, in the natural, there's no hope. But I know there's hope. Well, how is that? How do you figure there's hope? Because God has given me a great consolation. Jesus Christ has promised me this great consolation. I have hope. Now, I don't know how this thing's going to change, and I do not know what the answer is in the natural. I don't have a clue, but I do have hope because I belong to Jesus Christ. And according to His grace, according to His Word, I have hope in this thing. So I know one way or another, something's going to happen to the glory of Jesus Christ. Because I have hope. Grace will give you hope. Grace will help you understand the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Look in Titus. Titus chapter 2. It says in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now this grace, Jesus Christ was the embodiment of grace. But I want you to think about it from this perspective. You know, we talked a moment ago about the salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith. It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Okay, Jesus did not literally, physically appear to us. I mean, we're like 2,000 years past that point in time. So then how has His grace appeared unto us? Well, really, right here in the Bible. This book is the written revelation of God's grace. And when you begin to tap into this, we're going to see this again here in just a few moments. When you begin to tap into this, you're going to begin to see and access His grace. Let's look at another verse. Chapter 3, verse 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've already talked about born again, which gives you the eternal life, obviously. We've already talked about the hope. But look at this, being justified by His grace. His grace has made it possible for us to be justified. Justified to do what? Justified to call God our Father. You say, well, okay, but what else? What else do you want? If you are justified to call God your Father, how much more could you possibly want? Well, yeah, but... Now, wait a minute. When you know who God is, and when you know Him as your Father, you know what? You see that as all you need. When you realize that the Creator of the universe is your Father, you see that as all you need. Yeah, but I don't understand Him as you know, my Father. Man, you need to get in the Word. Jesus, especially in the book of John, the Gospel of John, He really does give us a tremendous revelation of the Father. People back then didn't get it, and a lot of people today don't get it. But when you really study these things out, you begin to see how that you literally are the offspring, spiritually, you're the offspring of God Himself. You are His child. Well, you're justified to call Him your Father. You're justified to call Jesus your brother because He's the firstborn of many brethren. I mean, you are justified to access everything that God has available to you. Grace makes it possible for, you get in discussions with some people about Christians and righteousness and all that kind of stuff, and some Christians, it's almost like they want to argue for the right to call themselves unrighteous. You know, go figure this out. Seems to me like if you could find out from God's Word that you already are righteous in the eyes of God, you would rejoice over that. But when religion puts a blanket over your spiritual ears and it keeps you convinced that you're unrighteous, you'll argue with somebody about this. How dare you say that you're righteous? How can you say that you're righteous? I'm justified by His grace. Yeah, but no, I'm justified by His grace. Because of His grace, I'm justified in declaring myself the righteousness of God. His grace has done this for me. All right, now let's talk about this, though. Some people might ask the question, how do I know that this kind of grace is extended to me? How can I know this? You know, you've been talking all about the things that grace can do, but how can I know that this grace is truly available to me? Because I have to tell you, Brother Martin, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of grace headed in my direction. So how do I know that I can tap into it the same way that you can? All right, let's take a look at a few verses here. Back up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now look at verse 7. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Every one of us. There's no exception here. So you cannot say that God has not given grace to you. Notice, it doesn't say that it's something you have to earn. It says, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, the moment that you became born again is the moment that God's grace was given to you. Again, think of it like this. If somebody were to walk up and give you a brand new Corvette and you left it parked in the garage, it's your fault it's not being driven. Is it not? It's yours. Somebody gave it to you. Title, keys, gas, everything. But the insurance. Hallelujah. Well, likewise, grace has been given to you. Now, what you do with it is totally up to you. But you, right here in this verse, you cannot say it's not been given. Because it's been given. Look at another verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, talking about God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, God had this plan all worked out. Another grace rule, if you will. How that before the world began, He already had this thing set up so that when it became possible for people to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God said the moment that they do that, they don't only get my Son Jesus Christ, they get my grace. So when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become born again, we also receive God's grace. So here again, we have Scripture confirming that the grace has been given to everybody, anybody who's born again. Hallelujah. The grace of God has been given to you. Let's look at another verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Are you born again? Yes. Well, is it Christ in you, the hope of glory? Yes. Then think of it like this. It's grace in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because if you're born again and you're in Christ and He's in you, remember what Jesus prayed over in John chapter 17. Father, they be one with us as I'm one with you and you with me. We're all one. Well, if that's true, then guess what? Christ in you, you in Christ, grace in you. His grace is in you. So it's there. Again, Scripture proves it. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. One more verse on this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Everybody knows when you get born again, you receive the life of God. You have His life, His nature on the inside of you. However, it also says here that you become an heir of the grace of life. What's that mean? It means when you got born again, you inherited grace. It's yours. And praise God, the way it works in the realm of the Spirit with Him, there's no inheritance tax to pay. It's all yours, and you don't owe anybody for it. So the moment that you get born again, once again here, you have inherited His grace. It's yours. You don't have to go begging God for it. It's yours. All right, so what have we done? We've taken a look in Scripture and we found out some things that grace does for you. We have also found out that if you're born again, it's yours. The grace is there. But now what we need to do is find out how to tap into the grace. Amen? So next week, no, I'm joking. That was dirty, Brother Martin, dirty. All right, turn back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now look in verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 again. No, 15, I'm sorry, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The gift of grace, the gift of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Now keep this verse in mind and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, now here's what I'm getting at. It talks about, you know, grace from God the Father and Jesus Christ. Grace, you know, from God the Father and Jesus Christ. Come boldly before the throne of grace, obtain mercy and so forth. Here's what I'm getting at. We tap into the grace when we're in the presence of the source. You see, the grace has come to us from God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, He's given it to us. But when we're in His presence, that's when we start tapping into it. Listen, you don't tap into the grace of God sitting on a bar stool putting down a, you know, fifth of whiskey. You don't tap into the grace of God when you're in the back seat with your girlfriend. You don't tap into the grace of God when you're out there stealing stuff. You tap into the grace of God when you're in the presence of the source. You don't tap into the grace when you're on the phone complaining to somebody else about your problems. Listen, you can come to me all you want. I'm not the source of God's grace. Now, I'll pray for you, and I'll pray for an anointing of His grace, you know, and believe God for it to move on your life, but I'm not the source. I have to go to the throne to get it, to come back and pray for it over you. See what I mean? I'm not the source of it. Man, it's God. It comes from God the Father and Jesus Christ. So the more that we stay in His presence, and I really like this verse here in Hebrews, you know, before the throne of grace. You know, to me, that's just the image of just being there in His presence. So the more that we're there in His presence, the more that we make a conscious effort to be there with Him, is the more that we experience that grace and we tap into it. Think, all right, the Corvette in the garage. You don't drive that Corvette until you go into the garage and get in the car. You see what I'm saying? Does that analogy make any sense? Likewise, I mean, the Corvette's yours, but you've got to go there to drive it. The grace is yours. It's guaranteed now. You inherited it. But you begin tapping into it. One way now here is by being in the presence of God. All right, let's look at something else. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now look at this. Grace and peace. Chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this was written to Christians. He's not saying get born again. He's saying you're already born again. Now what you need to do is come to a greater knowledge of your Father and your Savior. Look at a very similar passage back over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The greater that you come to know God, the greater that you come to an understanding of the revelation of who Jesus is to you, the greater that you come to the knowledge of who God is as your Father, the more you're tapping into that grace. See, you can't separate the grace from God. Because even Paul talked about it, you know, the strength of God, the power of Christ, and so forth. Well, see, the more that you come to know who He is, the more you're going to be walking in that grace. You say, well, explain it to me. I can't. I mean, honestly, I can't. All I know is what the Bible says. And the Bible says that the more I come to know Him, the more I'm going to be experiencing that grace. He said it will be multiplied unto you. Multiplied. You remember what multiplication is. You know, 2 times 10 is a whole lot more than 2 plus 10, is it not? Well, he says grace and peace is going to be multiplied in your life as you come to a greater knowledge of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Again, thinking in terms of being in His presence. The more you're there, the more you come to know who He is, the more you're going to be experiencing His grace. And remember all these things that grace will do for you in your life. Let's look at something else. In James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 6, it's talking about God, where it says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You don't have to turn to it, but 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, essentially says the same thing, that God gives grace to the humble. In other words, what this means is this. The more that you stop thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, the more that you keep things in perspective. Remember Jesus talked about taking the lower seat and all that. In other words, the more that you begin to see yourself as being absolutely hopeless without God. It doesn't matter if you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, government. Doesn't matter. The more you start seeing yourself as being absolutely hopeless without God, the more you're going to be experiencing His grace. You see, as you begin to see yourself as being absolutely hopeless without God, you're not going to start thinking of yourself as being better than somebody else. You're going to see yourself as no different than anybody else. Absolutely hopeless without God. And He says He gives grace to the humble. So if you stop, and I'm not saying anybody in here is caught up in pride, but I'm telling you right now, you know, pride is the thing that led to the destruction of Lucifer. You know, he got kicked out of heaven. Pride goeth before destruction, before a fall, all of these things. But when you keep the pride in check and you stay humble before God, He then begins releasing that grace, the anointing of that grace into your life. Look someplace else, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, what we're looking at right now are all the different ways that we begin to tap into and access this grace that God has promised to us, this grace that we have inherited. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound or excel or be multiplied to the glory of God. What's this mean? What it means is this. The more you worship God, the more you're going to be tapping into that grace. The more that you begin to spend time praising Him and worshiping Him. Now, I'm not just talking again about, you know, here during the church services. I'm talking about in your life, the more that you worship Him, the more that you're going to be tapping into that grace. And He talks about it redounding. Well, that's a King Jamesy word, but again, that means for it to be, you know, just abounding. That's another way to put it, abounding in your life. So as you worship Him, you're tapping into His grace. See, put it another way. You cannot help but tap into His grace when you worship Him. It's guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed. You will tap into the grace the more that you worship Him. So you say, oh God, I just need more grace. He says, well, first off, it's already guaranteed you can have it. I'm not going to hold it back. But one of the things that you can do is worship me. And when you worship me, I have already got it set up. Another one of those rules of grace, I've already got it set up that when you begin to thank me, you begin to praise me, you begin to worship me, you're tapping into this grace. It's guaranteed. It's an automatic. It happens without, I don't have to do something extra on your behalf. All you have to do is worship, and you're tapping into it. God says, that's the way I've got it set up. Let's look at something else. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word of His grace. Put it another way, the Bible. God's word. The more you get into the Word of God, the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but guess what? Grace also comes by getting into the Word of God. So that means every time that you start spending moments, minutes, hours in the Word of God, you're tapping into God's grace. This is another thing He's got set up. You get into the Word, you're tapping into grace. The more you're in the Word, the more grace is going to be, you know, multiplied, redound unto you. Again, it's something you can't stop it from happening because this is a spiritual rule. You get into the Word and grace. You start tapping into it. Automatically, it's there. Let's look at one more. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Chapter 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 is also very similar. For by grace are you saved through faith, okay? So what's this last point we're going to look at right here? You tap into grace with your faith. Let's put it like this. Everything that I've shown you in the Word tonight, as far as how to access the grace, staying in His presence, getting in the Word, worshiping Him and so forth. If you don't believe this, it's not going to happen. In other words, God says, here are all these things my grace will do for you. Now, this isn't going to change. This is forever. These are all the things that my grace will do for you. And here are all the promises that I've made to you that this grace is yours. Whether you believe it or not, it's yours. And I will not change this. I'm not taking it back. It's yours. And then here are all the things that you can do to tap in to this guarantee, to this grace. You can get into my word. You can worship me. You can all these things. Now, these are rules that I'm not changing. Because remember, I told you that my word stands forever, and it doesn't change. So now, if you will do this, you're going to tap into the grace, and then you're going to experience what grace will do for you in your life. Then you begin reigning over all this stuff. You know what actually the end result of all this is? Peace. Peace. Because you know that you're walking in the grace of God, and you know that grace is there, and you know that, listen, man, people could be dropping dead all around you. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000. I mean, people, all kinds of stuff could be breaking loose. But you know what? You know that you've tapped into the grace of God. And you know that that grace is going to be multiplied unto you every day because you're doing these things that will cause that grace, cause you to tap into that grace. And people look at you like you're weird. And what, you know, it talks about faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But what builds you up on your most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost, right? Now, what have we seen in this thing relative to grace? We have seen prayer, have we not? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Praying in the Holy Spirit builds you up on your most holy faith. We've seen prayer, praying in the Spirit. We've seen the Word. We've seen worship. Now, the only one that I haven't can't specifically identify in all this that I've shown you tonight is fasting. But I'm sure it plays a role in there somewhere. We just haven't seen it tonight. Can you see the connection in this? So here's what I'm getting at. After tonight, it's not like we have a whole lot of excuses left, is there? But you know what? I'm just going to tell you something. There was a time in my life where it kind of felt good to have excuses. Because then I didn't have to be accountable. But the more I got into God's Word and found out, He's covered all the bases. It's like, great. Now I have no excuses. Now I am accountable. And I'll tell you what. Now I like it better this way. Because that means I always have an answer. No matter what, I always have an answer. You know, when Kathy was going through that physical, actually both of us, but when Kathy, you know, was there in the hospital and all this, hey, I wasn't worried. I honestly was not worried. Tapped into enough grace in my life to where I could walk in peace in that situation. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on His promises. Because everything He said in there, it works. No matter what you go through. So for me, for the rest of my life, this message tonight applies. I'm accountable for it. But then, so are you. And then when we broadcast it on the radio, all you people listening to it on the radio, you're accountable too. All the people hearing this by tape, you're accountable too. There's no getting away from it. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad you want to crawl into that cave and hide and get away from everything, God's grace will get you through. You know, I thank God for that. No matter what I face, I can make it through. Every single one of us. Can you imagine the impact a church could have on its community? If the people in that church grabbed a hold of this message, a whole church full of people walking in that grace. You talk about being able to change lives. Oh man, well we have an impact. But God's grace, no matter what it is, God's grace will get you through. Praise the Lord. You know what? He is worthy of our praise, is He not? So let's stand up and let's begin to worship Him and thank Him for this battle.